Hi, this is Steve from the HR Happy Hour. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network, the longest running and most downloaded collection of HR podcasts in the industry. Remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for HR Happy Hour. And for more information, go to www.h3hr.com.
From HR Wins, I'm George LaRocque. Welcome to the HR Market Watch Future Work Podcast. What's the future of recruiting? And what does that future mean for recruiters? This is a conversation I'm having more and more as I meet with talent and HR leaders from around the globe. Now, every function in every business is experiencing rapid digital disruption. Tech users and employees' expectations are changing rapidly as digitally native generations enter the workforce, and really as all generations adjust their expectations at work to be more like the experience they have outside of the workplace. Now, this is exceedingly true in recruiting, where new tech like automation, artificial intelligence, and machine learning are entering the space at accelerating speeds. So the result is everyone's trying to look into the future right now and anticipate the role of the recruiting function and of the recruiter. What will that be in just a few years? Now, when this topic comes up these days, I hear a lot of hype. The hype comes mainly from the tech vendors, of course. Love them and appreciate their vigor. But it also comes from the pundits. There's a lot of theory out there, and that's whether your opinion is more aggressive or conservative. Whether you think the robots are coming for your jobs, or whether you think there's going to be, incremental improvements based on all of this technology. So it's, an improvement for the recruiter and the recruiting function over time. A lot of healthy debate on what the future holds for recruiters. Now, as a market and tech analyst focused on the work of the future, I do spend a considerable amount of time thinking about things like this. But this question, what the future holds for the recruiter, well, for anyone in the people function right now, HR, etc. But what's the future of the recruiter based on all of this change? There's a unique challenge that posed here. Now, see, normally I like to draw my perspective and answers from experience and data, whether that's my experience, my data, or other experiences and someone else's data. The challenge here is that we don't have a lot of useful history. We don't have a lot of use cases. And in the past, we've seen tech go through very repeatable adoption cycles that were, well, they were slower, and we could see the impact emerge and make fair assumptions. Now, this is coming on fast, though. But I have good news. My guest today has a unique position in the marketplace. He has a bird's eye view over more than 8,000 different staffing environments. And that's important because I personally hold the opinion that progressive staffing service providers have always been way ahead of the corporate employers when it comes to approach to recruiting. Why? Now, don't roll your eyes. Why? Because staffing is the business. It is the product. It's what every dollar invested and every dollar earned is related to. Think of the large RPOs and managed service providers. RPO would be a recruitment process outsourcing firm. They see approaches and technologies across segments, industries, job types, etc., and they leverage it to both increase their output, their sales, their placements, their hires, and to lower costs. They experiment with approaches and technologies to help achieve this. And I mean, we've even seen some active corporate funds from staffing firms and RPOs investing in early stage tech startups because of their commitment to innovation here. So as I'm looking to understand the future role of recruiting and of the recruiter on the employer side, I decided to ask someone that sees what's happening now on the staffing side. And I'll tell you what, he's got some great insights for us. And I invite you to listen in on our conversation. I am really excited to talk to our guest in this podcast. It's Art Pappas. Art is the founder and CEO of Bullhorn. Bullhorn provides cloud-based CRM and operation solutions for the staffing industry. More than 8,000 staffing firms rely on the Bullhorn platform. And if you don't know Bullhorn, they're basically the global leader in staffing front and back office tech. Art is a good friend of mine. Disclosure, I worked for Art at Bullhorn as VP of sales. It feels like a lifetime ago. He's a great guy. It was probably my favorite experience where I had a real job. And I'm so happy to have him here. Welcome, Art.
Thanks, George. It's really great to reconnect. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys have been really, really busy over there. It's been fun to watch as I mentioned, you're global now. You were global when I was there, but that was more organic at the time.
Yeah, it was global with a little G. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we talked before this about, you know, sort of what the conversation in the market is. Things have been, in some ways nothing changes, in some ways everything is changing depending on what angle I look at things. But you've been in the industry a really long time, and you're in this unique seat, with thousands of companies using your tech in different staffing models. What are some of the trends or the big issues that have changed the landscape over the last several years, and maybe how have things changed?
Yeah, I think one of the big trends that's really, really powerful right now is that our customers are evolving the way that they deliver their services. And rather than just saying, hey, we do staff augmentation or we do perm placement, I would say the majority of our customers are evolving their service offerings to be much more aligned around a workforce solutions provider approach rather than a, looking at it like a point solution. So for example, many of our customers are now offering statement of work to their customers. So rather than delivering the staff to run a project, they're actually delivering a service that has a deliverable at the end and a fixed statement of work. They're also providing all sorts of services around, managed service provider services, which is, I would say, not necessarily new, but seems to be much more pervasive in the market now. And even we're seeing that in sort of like mid-market accounts where, maybe where they would typically have a contingent workforce of like, 200 people, even at that level, we're seeing customers get into the MSP side of things. So I think that means that in general, the buyers are now much more sophisticated in the way that they buy. They're using contingent workers and their suppliers in a much more sophisticated way, and buying, I think, in a greater way. So I think the staffing industry globally just hit about $565 billion in annual revenue, which it's nearly a half a trillion dollar industry. And it's funny because I still have to explain what the industry is to people who aren't really familiar with it, but it's definitely become a big, big industry globally. And it's an exciting time and it's still growing very quickly.
Yeah. I that last point you made about having to explain it, I consume a lot of research. I read a lot of articles about the industry or about what's happening to the workforce. And I'm always shaking my head that, it's almost as though folks are discovering that people actually hire contractors or consultants or freelancers for the first time. And this has been a, a trend that's been emerging rapidly since like the 80s. And it's amazing to me that more people aren't aware.
15 million workers in the United States work for a staffing firm at one point or another.
Yeah.
So every year. So you think about that, like at some point, you know, if you tallied up all the people who had actually worked for a staffing firm at some point in their career, it's gotta be north of like 30, 40, 50 million. And you wonder how it is that you come across people and you say, you know, oh, like I make software for the staffing industry. And they say, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
And then you get to describe like, well, their corporations need flexible solutions to their workforce challenges. And my customers provide that. And what do you mean? You know, it's like, yeah, you ever been a temp? Like, yes, I have. Okay. Well, there you go. it's a really interesting market that people just don't understand. And a lot of times people will say like, oh, so you make corporate HR software. And I just give up. I'm like, yep, that's right. Sure. If that's the bucket you want to put me in. Yeah. It's an amazing industry. And we just had our Engage conference here in Boston, and we do one in Boston and we do one in London. And the Boston one was, we just got over 1,200 people at the event, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Congrats. I don't know if you remember George, when it was like Bullhorn Live back in 2008 and we got 185 people and we rounded it up to 200 and we were so excited.
I do remember
it's become
that.
It's become kind of an amazing event. And you meet all these folks from all over the place that are in this industry. And it's a pretty, I've dedicated my career to serving the industry and it's changed a lot in the last decade. Yeah. It's really cool to see. A lot of progressive businesses. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to ask you a little more about that, but I'm curious, first, a lot of your conversation about the market, a lot of the conversation is around contractors and the gig economy and all that. But, what about permanent placement? Is that declining or is that just chugging along at a slower rate?
Yeah. I think that if you talk to my customers that are focused on that segment of the market and are in perm, I think that they are, I wouldn't say declining. They're not experiencing consistent growth. Some companies are seeing perm placements go off the charts and others are not. And I think that, it's not necessarily like segment driven. There are definitely some corporate recruitment departments who have figured out how to leverage LinkedIn and they have their own internal search teams. And that's become more pervasive. But at the same time, you also have hiring shortages in every single sector now. And so I think people are turning to third-party recruiters to fill their perm jobs in a lot of segments and a lot of sectors and a lot of companies, but it's not uniform where people are saying, oh, you know, that's growing like crazy across the board. I find perm shops that are struggling and others that are just, you know, doing great. And so it's really been a mixed bag. It's interesting.
Yeah. Now, overall, I see the staffing industry, it's always been ahead of the corporate employer side when it comes to innovation in approach. When staffing is the business, that's, you know, what the CEO is concerned about. You're obviously going to invest more in your process, your technology, your overall how you think about staffing and recruiting more strategically. And there's a long list of things that I would put on that, just research, sourcing, et cetera.
What are some of the things that you're seeing now that, you know, you mentioned some innovative business models a second ago. What are some of those things that stand out for you?
Yeah, the recruitment industry has been an inbound marketing industry since like Jump Street. if you look at like classified ads, you know, a million years ago, that was the way that people recruited it primarily. And, you know, then it evolved to job boards, and now people use LinkedIn and Indeed and Glassdoor. And, you know, and soon to be, you know, Google more and more. But mostly it's like I post a job and people come, and you know, they come inbound, and then, you know, that even if you hire a third party perm recruiter, they're mostly posting jobs and getting responses inbound, but they, you know, they know the best places to post the jobs and they do some outbound. What we're seeing more and more of now is a shift to automated outbound and automated engagement and automation on the front end screening. So when I say like automated engagement, what I mean is I've got a database of let's say their SAP project managers. And I know my clients are going to need those people at some point, and I haven't talked to them in months. We're seeing customers now leverage not just outbound email marketing, which, you know, is not new, but new to the recruitment industry. We're seeing now customers say, I want to use chatbots to engage my talent that's gone dormant and keep them connected to my recruiting staff. And so they're sending texts, they're sending emails that look like they're coming from, you know, from the recruiter. And the engagement rate's pretty high. And people are, you know, just checking in, how's it going? You know, anything changed on your end? Like, when are you coming available if you're on a contract? And that is driving a ton of, really it's inbound, but it's sort of outbound driven leads into these organizations. And it's much higher quality than what you get when you post a job, because you're targeting people saying, okay, these are people I want to re-engage. We're seeing a lot of that. And then on the front end, when people do apply to jobs, we're seeing our customers, now it started in light industrial jobs and sort of office clerical. We're seeing pre-screening being done by chatbots. And you can call it artificial intelligence, because it sort of is, but it's very simple knockout questions that typically would be in a very long form application.
Yep.
What we've seen is that when customers deploy that technology, the engagement of the talent goes way, way up. People would much rather answer questions to a chatbot then fill out a form that, you know, has thousands of questions on it. And so by moving it, the knockout questions to that format, people feel like they're engaging. They know it's a robot, but they feel like they're actually getting a response. And it's eliminating some of the complaints about the dreaded black hole, which, right, I think is, that's something that's really plagued the industry for a long time. So you get a fast no. The computer will deliver you a no. You know, can you operate a forklift? And the answer is no. Guess what? You can't have the forklift operator job. But right, candidates would rather know that, right, than sit around waiting and wondering if I'm ever going to hear back about that forklift operator job. And, you know, the chatbot's smart enough to say, well, you can't have the forklift operator job. However, what about pickpacking? And candidate can say, okay, yeah, I'd be interested in that, and then, you know, continue the conversation about a different job. So I wouldn't say that we've taken the human interaction out of it, but we've taken the mundane interaction out of it. And what's interesting is that what our customers are telling us is that technology is allowing their people to spend more time building relationships, and they have recruiters who can't adapt, because all they were good at was like pre-screening candidates and churn and burn, kind of ripping phone calls, right, and doing mundane stuff. And those people are like, okay, like maybe I need a different job, because I'm not like good at building relationships, which is really interesting. I think that's, it's sort of a, I think that's where a lot of industries are going to see automation sort of change the dynamic of the way people work. And it's going to be good for some people in a lot of ways and bad for some people in others. But I do think overall for the staffing industry, which does get a bad rap for hiring people who are entry level and, you know, get on the phone with talent and don't know what they're talking about, I think that actually the bar goes up for the whole industry, which I think is going to be really, really interesting and could be great actually for the industry.
Yeah. And what's cool about what everything you just said is, so there's a, on the employer side, there's a debate going on right now about how will this impact the job? And there are a lot of us who feel like, you know, it's going to take a lot of the transactional, a lot of the work that bogs the recruiter down off the table and let them focus more on what they're really there for, the relationships. And you're saying you're seeing that. You're seeing that happening right now. It's not in theory. It's what has happened with those who have implemented this. That's pretty cool. Do you see that leading even deeper into the process? Like assessments and things like that?
Definitely. Yeah. Assessments, interview scheduling, anything mundane. I don't see computers taking over material conversations anytime soon.
Yeah.
What are you good at? What do you want to do? I just don't think that, you know, should you take this job? Shouldn't you? You know, how much money should you ask for? Is this a decent benefits package? I think we are light years away from that. And I don't know that human beings are ever going to want to take advice from a computer. I think they're going to want a human to human interaction on that level, but could be wrong. You know, it could be truly the computers take over and eventually they're like, you know, you don't have to do anything. And in fact, what are you good for? And then, you know, then they take over the earth. I think we're a long ways away from that.
I hope so.
We've got at least 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Well, as long as you're going to work with people, you're going to want to interact and get a feel for who you're going to be working with. I mean, that's clear. And that you want that sooner than later. You don't want to go through the process and then realize, you know, it's a company full of jerks or vice versa. Right.
That's right. And that's why Glassdoor has a business.
Right.
Because that's precisely what people want.
Right. That's true. So, how does this compare when, you know, the conversation we just had, is that a global thing or, is it different in the EU or, Australia than it is in the US?
Remarkably, it is becoming a global thing. And usually Europe is much slower to adopt technology than the US. What we're seeing is every customer I talk to in the enterprise is saying, okay, yeah, we want to experiment with this stuff. Whereas experimenting with, hey, let's move to the cloud was probably a 10-year lag over the US.
Yeah.
So I think now that Europe has moved their technology to the cloud, the rate of adoption is going to be similar to that of the US when new stuff comes out. So
okay.
We'll see.
Well, yeah, I had this thought recently where I was having this conversation and realized there was a time, you know, at this point in time, everybody's lives are taken over by their smartphones. But if you remember when they were cell phones, just mobile phones, Europe was way ahead of us in adoption and texting.
That's true.
So maybe culturally, they're suited for that just as well as we are, maybe even better, because they've been, you know, in that mode longer than a lot of us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So what else is happening in the market? Did I not touch on a trend, or you hit so much there? Is there anything that you think we didn't talk about that folks would like to hear about in the world of staffing?
I think that what we're seeing is kind of interesting on sort of the vendor management side of things. We're seeing a lot more, obviously vendor management systems are adopted, and they're much more adopted than they were 5 years ago. And they're continuing to be implemented and installed all over the place. What we're seeing though is that there's a lot more human interaction between the staffing suppliers and the end client. And so I don't know if that's a loosening or just a sign of the fact that there's such a fierce fight for talent that people are realizing they have to engage their suppliers. And what's interesting is, like, when we surveyed buyers, they don't really perceive that the vendor management system is the bane of their staffing supplier's existence. And usually that's because there's an MSP in between the buyer and the
right.
and the staffing supplier telling them that everything's okay. But it's a nightmare. I mean, it's a total nightmare for these suppliers because, you know, they're in this blind auction process and they're just, you know, trying to submit resumes. There's almost no feedback loop. I mean, it really, like, it's really sort of sent the industry back quite a bit. And my customers for years have been really frustrated with it, but they're not going to go sit with a Fortune 500 account and during an account review say, you know, this vendor management system really sucks. You know, because right, that's like immediate grounds for being removed from the vendor list. And so it's funny. So, like, we never even knew that buyers didn't know. But it's true. It's true story. Those vendor management systems are killing suppliers. But you know, we have found ways to integrate and make it easier and more streamlined. But it's, you know, you'll remember, George, that was something like 10 years ago was an issue. It really has not gotten better because mostly because the vendor management systems cater to the buyer rather than the supplier who happens to fund the program. It's one of the most incredible dynamics I've ever seen in business. It's like the person paying actually has no voice. So it is wild.
There's some things that starting to happen. I sat with 20 leaders on the employer side, on the buyer side, and to keep the language consistent here. Now they were saying that I would say about half of them, about 10 of them in the room, were saying that they're starting to take responsibility for that whole process. Or at least become one of the big stakeholders in it, which is unusual, right? Usually that sits in IT or finance or purchasing, right? And the reason they were doing that is because now that when they look at the contingent workforce, they actually don't look at two workforces any longer. They're looking at one blended workforce, and the experience they're having as a contractor, they're just as concerned about that as the experience as a full-time employer, especially in areas like healthcare, you know, hospitals. They're really concerned about that. So I want, you know, this is early, like this isn't like a massive trend, you know, but
I think that's really smart and progressive for them to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, because they are sure they're the worker of the staffing firm technically, but they're really going to work for the employer, and they care about what that experience is like, and making it streamlined is and as positive as the experience of a full-time employee is really smart.
Yeah. I was surprised to hear it. I've always asked the question, and usually, yeah, nobody wants to touch that. That's in purchasing, and it's, you know, they don't want to get involved in it. But it's starting to be, I guess, become an issue for them. So that there's that. And then I think some of them talk about, because of that blended concept, like, you know, they see a day coming with, it's almost like game day decisions, right? Like the, it's so, talent is so scarce, in certain areas where, you know, they're really looking for a global view of, you know, who's presenting. And sure, there are large projects that you're going to give to the MSP and that's how they're going to handle it. But I, again, really early, I'm not saying this is where things are headed, but it's interesting that they're, that it's starting to happen a little bit. I, do you have any, are there any staffing firms that sort of offer the full cadre, like on like a transactional level, not just a service offering level where, you know, their sort of talent pool is opened up to the customer, for whichever model makes sense? Is that a thing?
That is a thing that I know that a number of folks are toying with. It is not yet, it's not a trend yet.
Yeah.
I think it's an experiment.
Yeah.
But it makes sense in certain situations, right?
Right.
Where let's say that, in manufacturing, you've got a shift supervisor who, is on the, you know, the second shift or the third shift, and this their suppliers are going to be sleeping when they're trying to fill a no-show vacancy. You know, having access to a portal to be able to say, you know, hey, I need somebody, and having the talent respond in real time is that's kind of where it should go. Huh. If they're pre-vetted and already been onboarded and, you know, like that, it could work like that. And so that's the kind of thing I hear customers experimenting with. Buyers want it, right? Like if I'm the shift supervisor, I want that.
Yep.
If I'm, and I think the staffing firm wants to supply that. It's just a question of like, you know, what happens in the middle of the night if we don't, you know, screen the, you know, if the employee's not vetted perfectly, right?
Right,
like if
right.
they haven't worked there for that manager in that role before, do you take a risk and say, all right, well, why don't you try the guy who came in yesterday and just completed his paperwork? That, I think we're far away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I could talk to you for hours about the industry and the market. We can't do that right now. So, last words for you, Art, where can people, find out more about Bullhorn, or is there anything coming up that, you'd like to, let people know is happening for Bullhorn?
Well, yeah. So, we have Bullhorn Engage London coming up in, September, and anybody who wants to check that out can go to engage.bullhorn.com. We have, a fantastic speaker lineup, and that should draw about 1,000 people.
Cool.
And yeah, people can check that out and, come learn. And there's a leadership track, which is usually the most popular track. That's, that I think has a, you know, we'll have a draw for folks. And so, and there's also of course a recruiting track and best practices. And of course, there's always a great party. So
is there any entertainment at the party?
always. There's always entertainment. But if you're alluding to, the Bullhorn band Stampede,
yes,
I don't think we're going to be playing in London. I think, we played last year, and I think, you know, you got to give people a break, right? Like they can't, nobody wants to hear the same band every year at the same conference, right?
That's true. That's true.
So
that's true.
Except for me, you know, I'd love that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, there are,
yeah.
Yeah. I know there are YouTube videos you can enjoy to satisfy your need.
Yeah. Yeah. Bandstampede.com. You can check it out. We're going to be going into the studio in the fall and,
all
releasing
right.
an EP, so there you go.
That's great. All right. And of course, bullhorn.com, of course, for anybody looking to learn more. And Art, this was great. Great fun. Thanks for
George.
Being on the podcast.
It was great.
Once again, I want to thank my guest and friend, Art Pappas from Bullhorn, for sharing those insights. That was great. You can learn more about Bullhorn at bullhorn.com. You can learn more about their Engage event, which is happening September 11th and 12th, 2018, in London at engage.bullhorn.com. Now, I'd like to remind you that if you're doing something interesting in HR, recruiting, talent management, or any related technology, whether you're an employer or a tech vendor, I would love to have you as my guest on this HR Market Watch Future Work podcast. How do you do that? Just email me at HRMW, that's HRM like market, W like watch, at hrwins.com, and we'll start the conversation there. Thanks everybody for listening. Talk to you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.